content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Want to go higher, baby? You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Aviana Barrientos hooked up, and Daniel Tagg. How's that? How is everybody doing?
Doing good.
It's so good to have you in studio.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it is. And I heard through the grapevine that there was an article in the Dallas Morning News. Was it yesterday?
Yes, it was.
Oh, you have it.
In the arts and life
section. I didn't even see that. The arts and life.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you have a passionate opinion about this. It's about fasting. Don't rush in. So what you said that it was, you said that it was terrible. So let's tell us why.
Because this lady, Leslie Baker, is the writer of this, and she starts out by saying, like, there's a whole bunch of fads in eating, which is true, but she starts out, one of the first fad she starts out with is the ketogenic diet, and she says 1 week, it's a pile of meat from the ketogenic diet.
1 week, what?
It's a pile of meat. So she's saying there's different things, different fads of saying, like, 1 week you're this, you know, the Mediterranean, 1 week you're paleo, 1 week you're ketogenic diet, but she starts out by saying it's a pile of meat for the ketogenic diet. So
that means she
did absolutely no research for this. It's just it's a blatant, to me, lack of responsibility, because she's putting information out here that people are going to read.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at just the basic ratios of the ketogenic diet, it's 15% protein, very low.
Right.
Now, if she would have said, you know, paleo or primal, then you could maybe say loads of meat. But to me, right there, it's like the first one that she lists. She did no research for this.
Yeah.
Which, to me, the credibility of the rest of the article just goes down from there.
Well, I have to say about meat, and I now know why, after reading the book that we're about to uncover here in the Whitewash, the story of weed killer cancer and the corruption of science by Carrie Gillum. I know why I'm not eating meat. I can tell you that. It's just, if you want to get cancer, eat meat. That's pretty much a given, especially if it's not good quality meat.
That's the key right there, good quality meat. They put blanket statements on a lot of things, and I think people need to get away from the blanket and go more in depth. It's saying, yeah, most of the meats that you're going to go buy from the grocery store are not going to be the healthiest kinds. But if you're sourcing it, you're hunting it yourself, the chances of that go down quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, those cows are all eating coy. That was a word to put corn and soy together. Coy.
Right.
It's my new word.
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
No. What were you going to say?
So I was going to say corn and soy. Corn is the way
that's what they feed the cows.
Well, yeah. But if we were eating, you know, products that are made by corn, and it can be vegan, it can be meat products, whatever, that have corn processed into it, that basically processes down into sugar. That relates straight back to cancer.
Yeah.
Soy has been related to cancer as well when it's low quality, all this kind of stuff. So it's like there's a whole bunch of things that...
Well, mainly because, like I said, you've got to read this book.
Yeah.
We're all in trouble. We really are. The whole world's in trouble. We've been poisoned, basically, by Monsanto. We have.
We've been poisoned by a lot of different things. And that comes back to the whole reason you do this radio show. It's take responsibility for your own health.
Right.
Research things. Make sure the research is good, decent research. And it's not just, you know, you got to look at, you know, is it a double-blind study? Who's it backed by? Who's paying for that research? If, you know, Big Pharma is paying for it and they want a certain result, then that can skew the results of the research
studies.
It's like you just got to take responsibility and start eating less processed foods. If it's in a package, it probably isn't the best for you.
And it probably has glyphosate in it, for sure. I mean, it's actually alarming. You know, I've got, you look at all the notes I have, all the paper in front of me, all the books, all the everything. And I mean, I've been talking about this for years on the show, starting with Jeffrey Smith back 6 years ago. And where there's smoke, there's fire. Just know that. And we should always, when it comes to our health and our food, you know, make a judgment that is rather be safe than sorry, you know.
Yes.
And we've known for years that something's up with this, and yet it keeps, you know, slipping through the cracks and nothing gets done. The EPA, I cannot wait to talk with Carrie. This woman is a powerhouse, an absolute powerhouse. She's actually sued the EPA twice and is now suing the FDA.
Oh, wow.
Think about that.
Yep. You go, girl.
She's an incredible journalist. I mean, I have so much respect for her. I cannot wait to talk with her. She's coming up here. Her book, Whitewash, the Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer and the Corruption of Science, continued. I can't even believe how corrupt, after reading this book, like, I hate even saying it because it instills fear in me and it makes me not feel good. But I am so, I'm just so disgusted with the corruption that I've read about page after page after page, just, you know, one story after the next, and all the little, you know, cracks, if you will, in our government that allow this to continue like it has.
Right.
And just proliferate all over the world. It's really disgusting. And as you said, you know, about the research, who's paying for the research? That is one of the first questions you need to ask yourself mm-hmm. when you're believing anything that is written.
Yes. You got to be so careful about sourcing. And I've gotten away from reading the newspaper, from listening to a lot of news aspects, because it's just like this article is just sloppy mm-hmm. writing.
Well, so what else did she say? So she said the ketogenic diet was piles of meat. Is
yes,
that what she said?
That's how she opens it up. Well, and then she resources several.
I do think they eat too. I think American people eat too much meat, period. And I do think that we have become a protein obsessed society because we have become a society that focuses on more of what we look like than who we are.
And that's, you know, that goes back to this, too. It's, the whole focus of the article is all about the weight loss of intermittent fasting, whether it works, whether it doesn't. Some people that maybe shouldn't do it, some that do. And she sources two dietitians, a couple doctors. And even the things that the dietitians and the doctors are saying, and I had Sean read this, too. Mm-hmm. So I had a dietitian.
What did he
phenomenal.
Say?
So he just read one excerpt of it, which is saying from Dr., let's see, Samuel, let's see what his name is, yeah, Samuel Tyluman.
Welcome to my world.
I know it's. he's a physician here in Dallas.
Okay.
And it doesn't. I looked online and I couldn't see if he had any actual
What's
resume.
What's his name?
Is it Dr. Tyluman?
Is it Dr. Tyluman?
What?
Tyluman? Yeah. So
he's my OBG. Well, he used to be my OBGYN. He's delivered both of my babies.
I was about to say, I've heard that name.
Dr. Tyluman wrote it.
It might be. Don't quote me on that.
Let me see. I gotta see if it's really
his name. Samuel.
Is Samuel Tyull? Let's see.
Right there. I got it under quotation marks, or not quotation, but brackets.
Yes.
Samuel. Okay.
Oh, my God.
That's your OB.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
My OBGYN. He's seen my crotch.
He does like intermittent fasting, which is, you know, good. But then he goes into talking about intermittent fasting allows you to turn stored fat into sugar, resulting in weight loss. And, like, had Sean read this, like, I don't understand how he's getting that it can turn fat into sugar. Okay, I don't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then he goes on to say, "What you've done is metabolize half a pound of white fat," and he's talking about fasting, which is the product of excess sugar eaten, which it can come from that, but it can come from other things as well, to become sugar you can use. Again, I don't understand how he's getting that based on any kind of research I've seen on fasting and how you process and utilize calories. I don't understand how he's getting that fat gets turned back into sugar for utilization.
Hmm.
If you're fasting for a long period of time, it actually kicks you over from sugar burning, which is glucose, into ketones, which is fat. And so,
Dr. Tyluman's been on the show before.
Really?
Yeah, so, I'm going to see if he'll come back in, and we'll have a debate with he and Sean live on the air.
And that would be interesting too. And I know that, like, when people get quoted in the newspaper, I've been quoted just even back and put on paper,
they
mess it up all
they
the
do.
Time.
They
like,
do. I've
so
had it happen to me multiple times.
This isn't anything against him, but I want to know more of where he's coming from on that.
That might not be what he said.
Exactly. So it's not on him. Again, I think it comes down to the writer, but I can't say whether she got that quote right or not because mm-hmm. I don't know. But then it goes on to another resident here. Becky Murphy and her husband do intermittent fasting as well,
mm-hmm.
and they do the 5-2, which means you're eating for 5 days and you fast for 2 days. But in this, they say that they're actually allowed 500 calories during that each day during that
mm-hmm.
fast. That's not a fast anymore.
Can't it's
a,
we it's, all it's, just get along?
It's a low calorie. Like, just get your facts right. Like, and these people they're not dietitians. They're just some people that are trying to be healthy. They've lost weight, which is awesome. But it comes down to the responsibility of the person that's writing this to understand what is fasting, look up the definition,
mm-hmm.
understand some of the nuances of it. Okay.
Yeah.
And then give information based on that. And then it's all about weight loss, which I don't like. One of the biggest benefits of intermittent fasting is that it's a natural cleanse for your body. You go without food and you're not constantly inundating it with things. It has time to kind of focus on those things that it needs to clean up your system. Mm-hmm. It actually has shown to be the best cleanse for your body as far as research shows versus all the juice cleanse and all these other ones. Yeah. Like a lot of the research on the juice cleanse and stuff is spotty at best.
Yeah.
Where this allows your body just to go without. And then at the end of the article, one of the dietitians, Caroline Susie, which that's an interesting last name, Susie. It's cool.
Susie. But, I just adopted a dog. We named her Susan.
Oh, really? But you usually
I'm still trying to find her a home. I'm actually hoping that Marie might consider.
Marie, take Susan.
But anyways,
I'm a little heavy on the animal department.
You are. Yeah. But she ends the article with, and finally, this approach, which is intermittent fasting, won't get you any further than low carb or low fat in terms of weight loss, she says. Hmm. Find what works for you. So I like the find what works for you, but that's a very blatant just statement that it's so much more complex.
Well, I'm going to get Dr. Tuleman in studio with you and Sean, and we're going to duke it out.
Yeah,
how about that?
I would definitely love it. Not duke it out, just discuss, because I'm sure he...
I'm trying to sensationalize.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Don't start it like I'm trying to start something.
All right.
Stir in the pot.
Thank you for bringing that. I'd like to read it myself there this week. Interesting stuff. Always great having Daniel Tagg in studio. We have a very special guest coming up, Carrie Gillum. She is a veteran investigative journalist with more than 25 years of experience covering corporate news, including 17 years as a senior correspondent for Reuters International News Service. And she is the author of the book Whitewash, the story of a weed killer, cancer, and the corruption of science. Stay tuned, everyone. We'll be right back. You're listening to One Life Radio. Consider this an invitation to relax and feel the stress melt away with a Sunlighten sauna. Sunlighten is the number one choice for home and commercial infrared saunas. Their 3-in-1 infrared technology allows you to customize each session to you. Naturally de-stress, detoxify, and be heart healthy. Relieve pain, purify your skin, and increase energy. A Sunlighten sauna is a place to heal, a place to reflect, a place to invest in you. Visit them at sunlighten.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. That's H Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi everyone, this is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture. Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Give your body some soul with Sun Warrior's new Soul Good Protein Bars. Sun Warrior is committed to making the best plant-based proteins and superfood supplements from the finest organic ingredients across the globe. Soul Good Bars have an amazing profile. They have 17 to 19 grams of clean organic protein, very low sugar, and 16 to 17 grams of fiber. They're available in delicious flavors like blueberry blast, coconut cashew, cinnamon roll, and salted caramel. Check them out online at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. And give your adventure some soul.
Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray, Lexi Brinkley. I've got Daniel Tagg in studio, as well as Carrie Gilliam on the line. She is a veteran investigative journalist with more than 25 years of experience covering corporate news, including 17 years as a senior correspondent for Reuters International News Service. She is the author of the book Whitewash, the story of a weed killer, cancer, and the corruption of science, an expose of corporate corruption in agriculture. The book won a coveted Rachel Carson Book Award from the Society of Environmental Journalists. Carrie is currently the research director for the nonprofit organization U.S. Right to Know. Such an honor to have you on the show, Carrie. Welcome to One Life Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I have to tell you, I respect you so much as a journalist, as a woman. The piece of work that you have put out in this book is absolutely incredible, and I can see why it won. It's only won one award yet. It's probably going to win a few more because it's absolutely astounding, the research that you've uncovered. So throughout your book, you reference Rachel Carson's work, and I'm looking at her book right here, Silent Spring, is an incredible book too. And so you quote her work, and both her in the beginning and the end of your book. So what is the connection between Whitewash and Silent Spring?
Great question. I do have to brag just a little bit. The book also did win the independent book publishers a gold medal for work. So,
well, I can see why. It is absolutely incredible. And I tell our listeners, if you want to read a really good read, a scientific, thorough, investigative read, I suggest that you buy the book Whitewash. And there's a couple Whitewashes too, but it's the story of a weed killer, cancer, and the corruption of science.
And I did, getting to Rachel Carson and Silent Spring, I believe, model the book sort of after that groundbreaking work that she did, which was published, in 1962. And, she was a scientist, and she was really seeing very important and profound problems for our environment connected to DDT, an insecticide, but also, a number of other pesticides. And her book was really designed to be a wake-up call for people to realize, the dangers that lie in sort of unrestricted, use of pesticides, indiscriminate use. And I think we paid attention to Rachel Carson's, teachings for quite some time, but we've forgotten that, and we've gotten out of balance. And the pervasive pesticide use now in farming and just in our communities and where our children play, and it's in our food now and our water. This pesticide glyphosate, which is part of Roundup herbicide that I write about, comes down in rainfall. It's so pervasive.
Wow.
Found in our own bodies, in our human urine now, very commonly. So I just thought it was really important to share 20 years of research that I've done in this area, with consumers and moms and dads who need to know this to protect their families if possible.
Yeah, your story is an incredible one. It really is, starting with when you first walked through the doors of Monsanto. And this weed killer is so pervasive, as you said. Reading throughout the book, I mean, it's everywhere. I've actually been talking about this and GMOs for about 6 years on the show. And, at first people, I think, thought, oh, she's being an alarmist, or, they're just looking for, sensationalizing things like this, to get listeners or followers. But this is a real problem in our world, isn't it?
It really is. Glyphosate, the weed-killing agent that Monsanto brought into the world in 1974, it's the main ingredient in Roundup and Ranger Pro and these other herbicides that are sold by Monsanto and now sold by companies around the world. It's the most widely used in history type of weed killer. And as you said, our government, our FDA, our USDA, they document it. In food and soybeans and corn, I've reported on the FDA documents finding it in crackers and granola and honey. Different consumers have found it in a lot of cereal and snack bars. It's found in our drinking water. It's just really pervasive, and it is because the corporations like Monsanto have so convinced our regulators and our lawmakers and our farmers to allow this and to, you know, to promote, in essence, the use of these pesticides. And it's really endangering human health as well as the environment. In the book, I lay out a lot of the science that ties this chemical and others to cancers, as well as disease, infertility, reproductive problems, neurodevelopmental problems in our children. The stuff is real. There's research out there. We have a lot of scientists who are trying to raise the alarm about this, but we have a lot of really, you know, rich and powerful corporations that are trying to keep this information suppressed. And, you know, it's a really dangerous place where we are now.
Well, yeah, and they lay down some huge money for these for this scientific research that they dig for and then only put out what they want. I'm thinking of one study. I can't think of the name. I had it here in front of me, but Monsanto paid a scientist $500,000, two scientists at the University of, am I getting this right, of Missouri? Right?
Well, there was grant money. I mean, yes, there's a lot of grant money, millions of dollars that come from Monsanto and other corporations that are funneled into our universities and basically give them a voice and a hand in the research. And, you know, the researcher at the University of Missouri that I write about in my book, you know, really had a lot of trouble because his research was being quelched and censored. And Monsanto didn't like the things that he was finding out. And, you know, he really went through, you know, a lot of difficulty. And he's only one scientist. There are mm-hmm. many within our government and within academia.
Yes.
Who find themselves harassed and discredited if they, you know, do anything that mm-hmm. threatens corporate profits.
Well, it was Robert Kremer that I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
He was a research microbiologist who served in the USDA's Agriculture Research Service for 33 years before retiring in 2014. But it talks about how influential Monsanto could be. I'm reading from your book now. When he and a colleague were awarded $500,000, Monsanto grant a decade earlier, the company had wanted to completely control the research. And that goes on all the time, doesn't it?
It really does. And the group I'm working for now, U.S. Right to Know, we have obtained thousands of pages of internal emails and documents and things from a lot of these universities, from Monsanto, from our regulators. And I lay a lot of those out in the book. And when you see in their own words how they're working to control the scientific literature and deceive consumers, you know, and really control farmers and regulators, I mean, it's it's jaw-dropping.
It is jaw-dropping. Well, you know, you lay out many examples of deceptive tactics as one of the ones that we just talked about, you know, like picking the science that they want to use in order to, you know, to continue moving forward. But there's a lot of deceptive tactics by Monsanto and chemical industry allies. So can you describe a few of them to our listeners and tell us how you came to discover the information?
Yeah, and again, all of this, as I stressed, the book is very heavily documented. You know, I've been a journalist for, you know, we don't do stuff on anecdote or opinion. You know, this is data and documents. And what we've seen in the data and the documentation is that Monsanto has multiple strategies aimed at strategic deception. So, golly, let's pick one or two. I mean, ghostwriting scientific literature is something that's been laid out there. There are documents right now that are out in published peer-reviewed journals that declare themselves to, you know, say that this chemical is very safe, and they will say in a disclaimer that no one from Monsanto reviewed these papers.
Mm-hmm.
Yet we have, and there are papers like that published right now out there, and yet you have internal Monsanto documents where they're actually editing those very same papers and drafting and changing the wording and rewriting and controlling everything that's in these papers that to the public are declared to be completely independent. I mean, that's one thing that they've done that we know about. Other things, they put articles up on like websites that consumers would go to, like GMO Answers or WebMD or things like this, where consumers would go for authentic answers.
Mm-hmm.
And they, again, look like they're coming from an independent scientist, and yet you see in the internal documents where it's Monsanto's public relations people who are writing the articles, and then they just put them, you know, find friendly academics that they can use to put their name and their picture on it. And mm-hmm. a lot of times those same academics are getting money funneled their way through their universities. And it's not just one or two. You know, this is, we see these networks around the world that have been set in place specifically to promote propaganda for the corporations like Monsanto and to deceive consumers, regulators, and lawmakers. And it's been on for decades.
Yeah, and all the people that have been fighting this and talking about this, trying to educate America for years, I know, are thrilled that the Monsanto was ordered to pay $289 million in damages to the former school groundskeeper, Dwayne Lee Johnson. That's huge news, and multiple thousands of lawsuits have been filed against them. It'll take years to sort it all out, but you know, when we get back, I'd like to talk about what we can do to protect ourselves and to see what the future holds here in America for our food. And I want to talk about weed killer for breakfast. I want to talk about the monarch butterflies and everything, and how you're suing the EPA, or you've sued them twice, and now the FDA. Can't wait to talk with you some more. We'll be right back with you, Carrie, okay?
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Stay tuned. More with Carrie Gillum. She is the author of the book Whitewash, the story of a weed killer, cancer, and the corruption of science. You're listening to One Life Radio. Someone's gonna tell you lies, cut you down to size. Don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. Well, I love you, baby. Don't do me like that. Don't do me like that. Well-Being Journal is a remarkable bi-monthly health publication esteemed by intelligent readers worldwide. It's available in print or digital, single issues or subscription. Its focus is on living a happy, healthy life and preventing or healing illnesses naturally. Preventing or healing cancer, arthritis, cardiovascular conditions, and digestive issues, as well as nutritional solutions for optimal health, are regular subjects. Learn more at wellbeingjournal.com.
Hi, this is Vaughn Eaglin. As a licensed professional counselor and supervisor, I spend my career helping people cope with emotional problems. But today, I want to talk to you about nutrition. People ask me all the time for nutrition and weight loss advice, and I always find myself recommending a raw vegan protein, a food supplement called Warrior Blend by Sun Warrior. I wasn't always active and fit. In fact, I was very overweight as a child. And as a counselor, I must emphasize the importance of the mind-body connection. A clean body helps with a clean mind. Start today with Sun Warrior Blend Raw Vegan Protein. For more information, go to sunwarrior.com and start living clean today.
Hi, everyone. It's Bernadette. Everyone knows that I'm a strong believer in the numerous health benefits of cannabinoids and CBD oils. As with any supplement, I always do my research and my homework to find the highest quality product on the market. That's why I'm so happy to announce our partnership with the H Hemp Company, founded by a group of the most experienced and respected names in the CBD community. H Hemp offers a line of innovative products that are all natural and tested for quality. Choose from flavorful oils, restorative body balm, and minty breath spray, all at affordable prices. And for every H Hemp product sold, the company makes a donation towards the fight against opioid and anti-anxiety drug addiction, an epidemic affecting millions of families across the nation today. H Hemp products produce a sense of calm, fight post-workout inflammation, and the company gives back to our community. What more could we ask for? Search online for H Hemp Company and use the code OLR for 20% off your first order. That's OLR for 20% off your first order.
Hi, I'm Bob Barker. This is my friend Benny. Before you buy cosmetics, personal care, or household products, you be sure they have not been tested on animals. Everything from floor cleaner to shampoo is poured into animals' eyes and down their throats. They suffer intensely. Some even go blind. The price is never right for products tested on animals. Visit PETA.org for a list of cruelty-free companies.
Well, Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I've got Daniel Tagg in studio with me, and I have Carrie Gilliam on the line. She is a veteran investigative journalist with more than 25 years' experience covering corporate news, including 17 years as a senior correspondent for Reuters International News Service. She is the author of the book, Whitewash, The Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer, and the Corruption of Science, an expose of corporate corruption in agriculture. The book won the coveted Rachel Carson Book Award from the Society of Environmental Journalists. Carrie is currently the research director for the nonprofit organization U.S. Right to Know. Again, such an honor to have you on the show, Carrie. It's really good to have you here. We were talking over the break about just how big this problem really is. It's absolutely huge. It is the number one biggest, in my opinion, news story that we need to be paying attention to worldwide. Would you agree?
Oh, my goodness. It's a big story for sure. And a lot of people I talk to, you know, have said this is as big as climate change. I mean, this, you know, affects all of us and it's affecting our health and we just don't know it.
So, well,
yeah. Definitely a very big.
The reason I say that is because of what you just said, of what it's connected to. It's connected to the climate change. It's connected to the food. It's connected to big pharma. It's all connected. There are some very big superpowers that are running the world. And it's very scary because they're not doing the right thing.
They're not protecting the public to the degree that they're protecting corporate profits.
Right.
That very definitely is shown, and everyone should be outraged about that.
Yeah. And so, you know, you've sued the EPA twice now and the FDA to force access to records from these regulatory agencies. Can you tell us a little bit about those battles?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully everyone understands that we as a people, the members of the public, are supposed to have access to information about what our public, agencies are doing on our behalf. So the EPA, which regulates pesticides, and a number of other chemicals, obviously, is supposed to be accountable to the public. So is the Food and Drug Administration and USDA. Those are the agencies I interact with on a regular basis. And yet trying to get documents that are supposed to be public is like pulling teeth, and they will not turn them over unless you file a Freedom of Information Act. And they, under that law, they have 20 days to respond to you with documents. They never comply within 20 days. Mm-hmm. So generally, if it's been a year or more, the only thing to do then is to sue them. And you're right. I do have two lawsuits against the EPA, one against FDA. The first one against EPA, you know, it took a long time, but they finally did comply and turned over about 8,000 documents. This latest one, they are really dragging their heels. Mm-hmm. And the Food and Drug Administration is as well. And you know, not remarkably, I am asking them for correspondence about about glyphosate.
Mm-hmm.
And their communications with the chemical industry, their emails with Monsanto, they don't want to turn those over. Data about, you know, the glyphosate residues in foods and what they're doing and not doing, what they're trying to hide. You know, they don't want to turn that over.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yeah, it's scary. And I love that you're so calm about it, because I'm not. After reading your book, I'm very charged up about it. Let's talk about Weed Killer for Breakfast, Chapter 4. Can you elaborate on that? What are we eating for breakfast, Carrie?
That's the chapter that really gets everybody upset, isn't it? It's terrible. It is. And I shouldn't joke about it, because I myself, when I finished writing the book, you know, I put it down and I said, my gosh, you know, when you put it all together, it's really bad.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, the truth of the matter is that our federal government has been refusing to test for 30 years foods for glyphosate residues, while they are mandated, and they do test a whole array of other foods for pesticides, but not for glyphosate. They didn't want to do it. They haven't done it.
Yeah.
It's only been since, 2014, when they really started getting pressure, and the Government Accountability Office said, you have to do this. And consumers were saying, you have to do this. This is so widely used. We know it's out there in our environment. It has to be in our food. And what's been going on behind the scenes is that Monsanto has been convincing the EPA to steadily allow higher and higher levels. And yet FDA and USDA have not been wanting to check on those levels and provide us with data. So we don't even know how much is in there we haven't been able to know how much is in there and if it's legal or not until recently, until these last few years. And with the testing that's been going on recently, we're finding that, as you said, it's just in everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, no doubt has been for a really long time. And Senator Schumer right now is trying to push the FDA to go ahead and release some data that they've been sitting on for mm-hmm. 2 years now. And the only way that we even know about what's going on in FDA is because of these Freedom of Information documents that I've been able to attain. We see a FDA chemist who found it in every honey sample he pulled, for instance, from store shelves. He went mm-hmm. and pulled baby oatmeal from store shelves and found glyphosate weed killer in all of this baby oatmeal. And we're finding it in cereal, granola, crackers. Another FDA chemist reported to his supervisors at the FDA that the only thing he couldn't find glyphosate in was broccoli. You know, he was finding mm-hmm. everything else. So
I'm sure that'll come, which is one of our most powerful vegetables. Hopefully that won't happen because we're now there's so much more awareness. But, you know, let's talk about superweeds and how they are affecting U.S. farmers.
Yeah. So what has happened, it's all connected, of course,
yeah.
because there's been so much use of glyphosate, and that's primarily because genetically engineered crops were introduced in the 90s, designed to be sprayed directly with Roundup and glyphosate herbicides. So farmers started using a lot more of it, and then more, and then more, and weeds became resistant, as scientists had warned that they would.
Mm-hmm.
The weed killer became less effective. So we now have about 100 million acres of weeds or farmland where the farmers have a really hard time killing their weeds, and so they use more and more and more mm-hmm. weed killer. And now they're combining glyphosate with other weed killers,
right.
like dicamba and 2,4-D, and we are awash in these herbicides that are known to be harmful to our health. And you can see in the internal documents that our regulators, the USDA and FDA, are bracing for ever higher residues in our foods,
right?
Because they know we're using ever higher amounts on our farm fields.
Have you ever made the comparison in your mind, like I have been doing from reading this book, when you, what you just said? Doesn't this seem so familiar? It's the same thing that we are finding with antibiotics and the overusage of them, right?
It is. It definitely is. It's the same sort of theory that, you know, when you use this over and over and over again, and there's no good stewardship or restrictiveness about it, it's just irresponsible. And mm-hmm. it becomes less effective, so you use more. And, you know, you're not going to beat Mother Nature. I mean, that shouldn't be that hard for us to figure mm-hmm. out, or to have already figured out.
Well, that's the arrogance about all of this that's so startling. Actually, that's the most shocking thing, is the arrogance and the disrespect for Mother Nature. Super bugs, super weeds. We've pretty much eliminated the monarch butterfly as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's another fallout of this, is that when you mess with Mother Nature to such an extent as we have with glyphosate, you affect other things with biodiversity, and that one of those is key pollinators, like the monarch butterfly,
mm-hmm.
and seeing dramatic decline in population because we've wiped out its main source of nourishment, milkweed, and bees. We're seeing a decline in bees because of insecticide, heavy insecticide use, and, you know, pollinators are very necessary for food production and for the health of not just the environment, but for us and our families. And,
absolutely.
And we're killing them with this bath of pesticides.
Yeah. Well, what percentage of our food comes from from pollination? I've seen pictures of it before. It's like, it's alarming. It's a huge percentage of the foods that would be eliminated without bees and pollinators, like the monarch butterfly as well. It's it's huge.
It's extensive, and people don't even really think about that. Like, you don't think about, you know, the fruits and the vegetables and, you know, things like that that rely on pollinators, insects and bees. I mean, some people estimate, I mean, our science, you know, scientists, government scientists estimate 30% really
mm-hmm.
Of the world's crops rely on pollinators.
Yeah.
You know, it's very important. People don't realize that, you know, bees are trucked around the country to help pollinate, you know, certain crops. They're very vital to our food system.
Well, it's funny because, you know, as you know, Monsanto's their slogan is, we want to feed the world, which I'm calling BS on that. absolute BS. But your book covers a gamut of information and issues. So what are the top key points that you hope readers take away from your book?
Thank you. Well, yeah, that glyphosate and Monsanto and Roundup, you know, people sort of know that name, but it's really the poster child for a much bigger problem. We have allowed a handful of companies to push their pesticides so deeply into our lives to such a pervasive level that it is predominantly in our food, in our water, in our soil, our air, coming down in rainfall, found in our bodies. And these pesticides are tied by our leading scientists around the world to cancers, disease, reproductive problems, infertility, and neural developmental problems in our children. The fourth most prevalent pesticide found in our food today, chlorpyrifos, is known to be damaging to children's brains.
So much so
that our own EPA scientists have said it should be banned from food, and yet it's not. It's still out there.
Wow.
And people need to know this, and they need to take action to protect themselves.
What can we do? Because I want to do something. What can we all do?
Well, being educated, I always say being educated is the first thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's gobs of data out there. It's not very easy to get it, but you can look at, reporters like me and my book and others who are doing that work. There are a number of nonprofit organizations that are trying to share that information.
Mm-hmm.
Food and Water Watch, the Center for Biological Diversity, Beyond Pesticides, Pesticide Action Network, all of these groups track this and have data. But I think it's important to arm yourself with information and education and then just share information, with your friends and family or your city council, your school district.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't want pesticides sprayed in your parks for your children's play. Maybe you don't want it on your school grounds.
Right.
You should make that known. And maybe you don't want pesticides in your food, so maybe you make different buying decisions
mm-hmm.
when it comes to. And if you're going to spray Roundup, wear gloves.
Yeah.
Wash your hands really good when you're done.
Yeah.
Just be cautious about these things.
I say don't spray it at all, and I kind of have that rule on my property. And that's why I have so many beautiful birds that come on my property, because I think that they know instinctively that my property's safe. I think that they can smell it, they can taste it, they can feel it. They know. The earth knows. You can't fool Mother Nature, the birds and the bees, right?
Yeah, we certainly, when you poison, your environment, it's not a good outcome for all of us.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing.
Yeah. Carrie Gillam, thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you again.
Thank you for having me.
All right, everyone. And you're welcome, Carrie. It's been my pleasure. You can find Carrie at carreygillam.com. That's CarreyGillam.com. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Consider this an invitation to relax and feel the stress melt away with a Sunlighten sauna. Sunlighten is the number one choice for home and commercial infrared saunas. Their 3-in-1 infrared technology allows you to customize each session to you. Naturally de-stress, detoxify, and be heart healthy. Relieve pain, purify your skin, and increase energy. A Sunlighten sauna is a place to heal, a place to reflect, a place to invest in you. Visit them at sunlighten.com.
Hi, I'm Ashley Grace, co-founder of H Hemp Company. Hemp CBD improved my life so much that I started a company to help others naturally feel better. You don't have to have had a severe brain injury like me to benefit from H Hemp Company products. If you're struggling to feel better, calm your brain, or better deal with daily stress and want to do so naturally, please try H Hemp Company products. Search H Hemp Company and use code OLR for 20% off and free shipping. It's H Hemp Company and code OLR to feel better naturally and calm your brain.
Hi, everyone. This is Bernadette. Do you know why I love Paleo Magazine? Paleo Magazine was founded with the purpose of providing readers with the information they need to live strong, vibrant, healthy lives. They are dedicated to partnering with leaders in the paleo community to spread the knowledge of ancestral health principles without the influence of big pharma or big agriculture.
Paleo Magazine. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram, or visit them at paleomagonline.com. That's paleomagonline.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.
Sun Warrior believes that plants provide the cleanest and most powerful foods, rich in antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, enzymes, and phytonutrients. Our bodies crave real foods, especially in this age where we heavily process everything we eat, stripping out all of the benefits and nutrition well before we have a chance to even use them. Illuminate your body, mind, and the planet with Sun Warrior. To learn more, visit them at sunwarrior.com. That's sunwarrior.com. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Diamond Gray. I have Lexi in studio with me, Aviana, and Daniel Tagg. He is an orthokinetic specialist trainer at Telos Fitness Center, which is right next door here to the iHeart Media Studios in Dallas, Texas. He is certified in orthokinetics and the biomechanics of resistance training. He is a licensed massage therapist and holds belts in three different martial arts systems, and he was a wildland firefighter. We are continuing our conversation that we really didn't get to the meat of it last week about working out on the road. I can't even get a workout at home lately, Daniel. But let's talk about this. If I'm on the road, what do I do?
So the big thing is you don't have to have a gym on the road. Like if you have a hotel that has a gym, that's awesome. If they have some dumbbells, you know, a couple machines, that's awesome. Go use it. But if you don't, you can just bring some bands, some resistance bands. The ones I like, the ones that have the handles, they're a little bit better. And you should do basic movement patterns, you know, squat, lunges. You know, you do the lunges without the bands, can do the squats with or without the bands.
Mm-hmm.
And the lunges I'm talking about would be stepping back, keep the back leg straight, load the forward leg with the heel, focus on that glute versus the standard kind of walking lunges. And then you just do pulling exercise, bicep, tricep, and pushing exercises. Mm-hmm. You can even, you know, tie up the band and do some rotation type things.
Yeah.
With it. I mean, you can hit pretty much everything with the bands. It's not going to be like your hardcore workout that's going to put on tons of muscle mass, but it'll keep you going while you're on the road because
yeah.
there's a lot of people that travel and you got to keep in shape unless you're Dwayne Johnson where you can have your whole gym shipped to where you're
yeah.
going, and he's earned that right, by the way. He's a hard worker. That's just
yeah.
he has his whole gym shipped
I think that's
everywhere
a,
he goes.
That's a little obsessive.
But I mean,
just a little. I'm sorry,
that's
Dwayne.
One of the cool parts.
You're hot, but you're
like
not that hot.
Machines or like,
no,
are they all dumbbells?
He has his whole machines, like his whole workout. Anytime he goes to a new set, like he's going to be there for a few months. The production like ships everything. Like,
oh, okay.
Several
well, a few
tons.
Months. I thought you meant like,
no.
I'm going to LA. I'm taking my gym.
No,
I mean,
no.
You
this
know.
Is like he's going to go be on a like on an
movie
actual
set.
Movie set for
yeah.
a couple months.
Yeah,
and
I mean that's
it's like
a-
that's a good perk, and he gets up every morning, no matter where he is. If he works at 7 a.m. and calls there, he's up 3 or 4 hours before.
Well, he has
you
to. That's how he makes his living.
Yes, yes. But it's
you know?
Just, it's the, like a lot of all these people have excuse of time. Like, I don't have time to work out. Like, that man is busy.
Yeah.
He makes the time. We
yeah.
make the time. So if
but his just, whole success is predicated on what he looks like. I
it
mean,
is.
We all know that he's
but
gorgeous.
All of our success is predicated on how we feel and how we
yeah.
function, which comes down to exercise, eating right, getting constant sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would say that I would put sleep over exercise. If
absolutely.
I had to prioritize and you miss a workout because you have to get a little bit more sleep, I would prioritize
well,
it sleep than work out.
You know what? My friend and I were talking yesterday about the French paradox, and she goes to Paris like all the time, and we were talking about why the French aren't fat. Well, they're not fat because they walk everywhere, and they
true.
Drink the red wine. We were talking about alcohol. She had read something about how bad alcohol is for you. And, you know, I agree, but I don't. If too much of anything is not good for you, but a glass of red wine, you know, over lunch or dinner, to me is fine. In fact,
and
I think it's healthy for you.
Especially depending on the source of the wine. It always goes
yeah,
back to the source,
back
right?
Back to the source. But in France and in Europe, you know, especially in France, let's focus on France
yeah.
and the French paradox, mm-hmm. because so many people haven't been able to understand it. And I think that's something that they – didn't really think, well, yes, they eat a lot of butter and cheese and bread, but they walk everywhere. They walk all the time. And they're not, they're over there, their bodies, they're not into all this muscle and stuff.
No,
they're just not.
They walk everywhere. And then you look at the sources of the grains they're using are probably much better than ours.
Oh, yeah.
You look at the quantities of food, they're probably not eating quite as much. The quality of the butters, all the different fats are probably a lot better than ours, right? But it is, you don't have to have a lot of lean muscle mass. I remember going to a Turkish bath over in, I think we were in Budapest, my buddy and I, when I was like 10 years ago or so. And we were in there. And we were like the most muscular guys in there because it was just like everyone was kind of lean, but it was like no muscle. They don't really work out. There was one bodybuilder in there, and he was ripped, obviously.
I mean, a little bit of muscle is good, but I just think, I don't know. You don't have to be ripped to be a man.
You don't have to be huge. There's actually negative effects to being too big.
Yeah.
And there's negative effects to being not enough muscle mass either. You need some resistance training to help the density of the bones, promote calcium. More lean muscle mass means you're going to burn more calories. So there's benefits on both sides. Well, it's finding the balance.
It is. But you know, it's funny because so many men think that it's all about muscle. You know,
right.
It's all about muscle. Well, here's a clue or a tip for you guys out there listening. Women like men with some smarts as well. So you could spend a little less time in the gym and maybe read a book.
Yes. Or do both. Listen to a book while you're working out, right?
Or whatever. But, you know, it doesn't have to be all about how muscular you are as a man.
And for those guys that just go and work out, too, and do nothing as far as, like, I mean, I hate the word functional strength because it's so overused, right? But there's several trainers that I work with that can outlift me on every single thing they do. But if I go wrestle them in jiu-jitsu, I go, you know, like just kind of stand up fighting. If I go do an obstacle course where I got to pull up my body weight or I got to run or something, I can beat most of them at most of those. So it's more about like, can you use that strength?
Yeah. Well, we're gonna talk more about it next week. Always a pleasure, Daniel Tagg. Thank you so much. And everyone, thank you so much for listening. I wanted to let you know real quick, you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live from your mobile device or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. Or you can go to our website, OneLifeRadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or the podcast after the broadcast. The one on abortion will be up later on this afternoon. It's pretty heated. Robin Perry Braun and I really went after it. So a big shout out to our sponsors, Sun Warrior, Sunlight and Saunas, H-Hemp Company, Paleo Magazine, and the Wellbeing Journal. You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and make the most of it.
Imagine you're in a room surrounded by animals. There are about 2 dozen chickens, 1 cow, 1 pig, 1 turkey, and about a dozen fish. You spend some time with the animals, getting to know them one by one. You quickly learn that each has a unique personality. You meet Sally, a chicken who purrs like a cat when petted. Jasmine, a cow whose favorite snacks are apples. Louie, a pig who seems smarter than your dog. Pearl, a turkey who loves to sunbathe. And Max, a fish who enjoys belly rubs. Before you leave the room, someone tells you, these are the very animals who will be killed for your food this year. Unless, that is, you decide to save them. Will you?
Did you know a mother rat will dip her paws into cool water and gently smooth the fur around her infants' faces? The babies put their arms around their mother's neck and pay attention while being bathed. Rats and mice fall in love, risk their lives to save their kids, and giggle when tickled. Evan Walker writes of a mouse who died of shock in a trap.
Hello, I'm Ali McGraw for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Our animal companions rely on us, especially during a natural disaster. If you're forced to evacuate your home, do not leave your animals behind. Visit helpinganimals.com. Hello, I'm Ali McGraw for People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. Our animal companions rely on us, especially during a natural disaster. If you're forced to evacuate your home, do not leave your animals behind. Visit helpinganimals.com.
Hey, this is Sean Wells of the International Society of Sports Nutrition. One Life Radio is proud to partner with the ISSN. The ISSN is the world's leading scientific organization dedicated to the science of supplements and sports nutrition. For their latest conferences and events, go to theissn.org. That's theissn.org.